From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. By the way, thank you, those of you in San Diego listening to us on Kogo, making us number one, and WISN in Milwaukee. Thank you to you too, number one. I love it. Later on tonight, those special open lines with a hotline that we will open up, and I'll tell you what that topic is a little bit later on tonight. First, some of the news of the day, and you are going to absolutely love our first hour guest and a couple people he's bringing along next hour as well. Now, imagine this for a moment. You're in your house, and you set your thermostat, whether it's in the summer and you want air conditioning, or it's in the winter and you're a little cold, so you set your thermostat. But all of a sudden, somewhere, Big Brother says, you got it set too cold, or it's too hot, and they control it. They change it. That's what's going to happen. Add thermostats to the list of private property the government would like to regulate, for example, as the state of California now looks to require that residents install remotely monitored temperature controls in their homes next year. The government is seeking to limit rolling blackouts and free up electrical and natural gas resources by mandating that every new heating and cooling system include a non-removable FM receiver. The proposal, set to be considered by the commission of there, requires that each thermostat be equipped with radio communication devices so it can be controlled automatically, up or down, 4 degrees for cooling and heating. Unbelievable. Residents of at least 17 states are suddenly stuck in the middle of a fight between the Bush administration and state governments over post-9/11 security rules for driver's licenses, a dispute that by May, if it's not resolved, could leave millions of people unable to use their licenses to board planes or enter federal buildings. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, who unveiled the final details of the Real ID Act's rules, said that if states want their licenses to remain valid for air travel after May of 2008, those states must seek a waiver indicating they want more time to comply with the legislation. Man, Big Brother is everywhere. Dennis Kucinich is getting his way. New Hampshire officials say that they will now conduct a hand recount of the state's Democratic and Republican presidential primaries at the request of two minor candidates, Kucinich and also a Republican, Albert Howard. They received slight votes. They're paying the fee. Kucinich basically says, look, I'm not doing this out of concern for any individual. I'm doing this out of concern for the integrity of the process and not out of the loyalty to any one candidate. But he does think there's something amiss. State of Washington, as U.S. Marshals, armed with eviction papers, began to clear out her townhouse, Benetta Jacks sat on the steps leading to the upstairs bedrooms, intending to block their path. One managed to sidestep the 33-year-old woman and spotted the bodies of three children on the floor of an unfinished bedroom. He then opened the door to another bedroom and found the body of a teenager on the floor of the bare room. Authorities estimate the four girls, ages 5 to 17, had been dead for at least 2 weeks. Jacks told police they were possessed by demons and had died in their sleep. Animal rights group PETA has asked the jail housing a man accused of murdering his girlfriend and possibly eating her body parts not to feed him meat. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals faxed a letter to the jail in Tyler, Texas, asking that the 25-year-old man be placed on a strict vegetarian diet to prevent him from being involved in any senseless killing while he's behind bars. A Saudi Arabian prince, Alawid bin Talal, Citigroup's largest individual shareholder, will inject new cash as the largest U.S. bank grapples with heavy mortgage market losses. Alawid has owned Citi stake since 1990s, and he has helped them grow. He's pumped a lot of money into it, and so he's going to keep doing that. In addition, China is expected to invest $2 billion in Citigroup. One world, here we go. Bank of America buying Countrywide Mortgage. Countrywide Mortgage in deep trouble. This ends Countrywide as an independent company if and when that deal closes. Listen to this nightmare. Twins separated at birth have married each other without realizing they were brother and sister. Oh, gosh, a nightmare. The British couple's marriage has now been annulled by the High Court. It doesn't say if they were identical or fraternal twins. They had no idea that they were related. But I guess they found out later on. You know, yesterday, a couple days ago on the program, I read you an email from a Minnesota State Patrol officer who has a cat named Lickety Split. The cat is dying. The cat had been withering away. The cat saved his life in an incredible situation where the patrol officer could have been shot, maybe fatally, who knows, when another cat that looked just like Lickety Split kind of jumped in the way and kind of caught his attention and he backed off just in time. Maybe it was Lickety Split, who knows. But Lickety Split has been fighting for his life. And so I read the email and I figured, you know what, let's pray for the cat. Who knows what'll happen? On the line with us now is the patrol officer, Scott. Scott, you're going to tell us an incredible moment here, aren't you?
Yeah, George, it's pretty hard to believe. You got to remember this cat was down to 4 pounds, and, you know, he should have weighed 8 pounds, and he hadn't eaten in weeks. He was emaciated. Now, Wednesday night after we talked to you on the phone, he went somewhere he never goes. He went into a closet under our stairs, and he just collapsed there. And we were pretty sure, you know, he was just kind of going there to die.
Yeah.
And so Thursday was worse. He was so sick, he couldn't lift his head. He couldn't meow. I mean, it was looking really bad. So we said our goodbyes. We were going to take him to the vet and have him put down because, you know, it's just there was purely no hope.
Sure.
I mean, this is all verifiable because we called the vet and we said we're going to bring him in.
Right. And this, again, it's after you came on the air and after everybody prayed for him. Okay.
Yep. This is the next day. But then he didn't really seem to be suffering bad. So we thought we'd just let him die at home. So this is like Thursday afternoon. Now, Thursday night, he was laying in the closet, just laying, you know, limp in a heap. And we decided to bring him downstairs because we didn't really want him to die alone in the closet.
Sure.
And then it's about 5 o'clock at night, he just lifts up his head. And we're like, I'm like, can you see that? And he stands up. I mean, he's shaky, but he stands up and he gets down and he starts heading toward the stairs to go up where our kitchen is upstairs, like where he eats all the time. We help him up the stairs and he starts eating. And he's eating and it was just like somebody threw a switch. I mean, he's still only, you know, 4 pounds, but he's alive and he's improving. And we brought him into the vet today, and, you know, she couldn't believe it either.
She's in shock, isn't she?
She's
the vet.
In shock. And she said, you know, maybe this
story.
Is pets rally before they die, but I don't think so. This you know, it's been going on for over 24 hours.
Yeah, he's eating. He's getting by the danger point now.
It looks like he is.
He's getting stronger.
He's got a long ways to go, but...
Well, you know, Scott, I don't know if prayer worked in this particular case. I truly believe that it does work when people collectively put it all together.
I got to be honest with you. I really didn't think after I got off the phone, I thought, you know, it's really a long shot. But if you'd have seen, if your audience would have seen this cat, they would have said, you know, you got to put him down.
I mean, yeah.
There's no way he's going to make it through the night. So something happened. And I want to thank you and your producer and the Coast to Coast audience because I think a lot of people believe something happened. So
I love it.
Time will just tell.
We'll keep praying, Scott. And the only favor for us is if we're ever in Minnesota and we get stopped by you, you just kind of let us go. Deal?
Well, I'll do that.
Thanks, Scott. Keep going. All right. Keep the prayers going. Television horror host from years gone past, Vampira. Vampira is dead at the age of 86. She died in her sleep. Her real name, Melia Nurmi, N-U-R-M-I. She was pretty good in those days. Kind of spooky. She's gone. In a moment, we're going to talk about time travel with none other than Stephen Gibbs back on Coast to Coast after a nearly 4-year hiatus. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Steve Gibbs was adopted by the Gibbs family, who raised him on a farm near Clearwater, Nebraska. And although never fond of school, Steve finished high school, took trade school courses in electronics. And did he learn? He gained an excellent reputation for fixing things, putting things together, installing things while helping the family farm. Steve has devised a machine, he claims, will allow the user to actually travel through time. He's a noted author as well. Websites linked up at coasttocoastam.com. One of his books, Stranger Than Fiction, The True Time Travel Adventures of Stephen Gibbs, The Rain Man of Time Travel, by Patricia Reese as well. Hey, Stephen, welcome back.
Hello.
It's been a long time for you.
Yeah, it has been. It's, I'm still building and selling HDR units.
One would say after 4 years, maybe you took a little time travel trip and just came back.
Well, it was, that's pretty close. I did travel off to some other dimensions, but I pretty much always, you know, stay grounded, though, you know, around in this area. But no, I'm still selling the units. I've been selling them now for the past, for at least 20 years now or better.
I mean, when did you first come on with Art, Steve?
Oh, that was 97 in January.
Okay, it's 10, 11 years now. My gosh, 11 years. Next hour, we've got a couple people who will describe their time travel experiences as we continue to talk with them. Stephen, for a lot of people who don't remember who you are, why don't you just go back to the beginning? What happened? How did you decide to come up with this? How did you experiment with it? Just tell us the whole story.
Well, I was contacted back in 1985 by a couple of time travelers who claimed they had received a schematic from the future. I think it was from around the year 2200 and something, and was actually developed, believe it or not, by one of my counterparts that existed in an alternate future Earth or dimension. And anyhow, they brought it back here and then gave it to me, which basically, in reality, I was his alternate counterpart, in hopes that I would develop it, you know, into something that was even better. Basically, the device started out as a diode system, but since there was a lot of bugs that need to be worked out of it, it took several years before I got it to a working model stage where it could actually be used to transport people physically through time.
It's a small unit, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the box is kind of small. That's kind of like six inches wide and 5 inches long, something like on the average there. And then something like two and a half inches thick. But it's the electromagnet that weighs up to, I think it's nearly 8 or 9 pounds.
I know.
And go ahead.
You made one of these and gave one to Art a long time ago. I don't know if he ever used it or not. Do you?
No, he might on his cat. I know there was some stories where he hooked it up to his cat. So, you would have had the first cat that traveled through time with it, but he never did work up enough courage, from what I was told, you know, to actually activate it.
Well, now to make it work on an individual, what do they do? Do they put it on themselves? Do they surround themselves with it? How does it work?
Well, the first thing, you know, the unit sells for still sells for $360, and there's a 12-page instruction manual that comes with that tells you how to use it for healing, out of the body travel, and then for physical time travel. But now, for physical time travel, you have to first locate a vortex. Now, in the manual, I tell people how to make their own L-shaped dowsing rods out of ordinary coat hangers, and they can find them, you know, just around their house. You know, every home has something like anywhere from 3 to probably 6 vortexes. And but the electronic alternative, which is a lot better for locating vortexes, and this has already been tested out extensively by several people, is the use of a handheld radio all you got to do is turn to the AM band, lock on to any station, then walk around your house until the station cancels out. And right where it cancels out, that's right where the vortex is at.
Okay.
But anyhow, once the vortex is found, you then activate the unit over the vortex, and provided you're right on it, and provided it's either around sunrise or on the day of the full moon, at sunrise, of course. And but anyhow, if you're right on the vortex and you activate it, you, in less than 3 minutes, what will happen is you'll see a flash of white light or feel a sinking sensation, and then you're immediately in the other time period. Now the return function is really simple. All you do is wait about 7 hours, and then when the time energies run out, you just automatically pop back to the present.
Do you have to be in that exact spot to come back, or could you be anywhere?
No, you can be anywhere. Now, some people have reported that when they return back, they actually return back to the vortex where the unit was activated. But when I've made physical time jumps, I came back at the point where I was positioned at. Like, say, for example, I was at a McDonald's restaurant and back in the 1950s. Well, if I returned back to the present, I'd still be in a McDonald's restaurant. But there's some vortexes out there, though, when the unit is activated over them, it will... when their time energies run out, it pulls them right back to the same vortex where the unit was activated over. And then on top of that, you can spend, you know, anywhere from a few hours on up to 7 hours, come back, and only a few minutes will have elapsed.
Oh, my gosh. Now, does the unit physically come with you when you travel through time?
Yeah.
It stays with you. Okay.
Yeah, so long as you're touching it. Now, the problem is with this unit is... if the person isn't centered on the vortex, there can be what I refer to as a delayed reaction, where they can activate it, and then it doesn't kick in until the next day.
All right. Now
that has happened before.
Can they get hurt with this thing, Stephen, or electrocuted?
No. It's, I've sold units since 1985, and there hasn't been one report of one case where somebody's got electrocuted.
Have you had anybody call you up and say, hey, I want my money back. I can't travel in time.
But usually in that case, they probably didn't buy the unit through me. See, there's companies out there that are selling these, what I call dummy replicas of the unit, and they tell people, now, my units work, but these units that are being sent off to my customers, they don't work. And anyhow, they tell the customers that I build the units for them.
So you might,
and I don't.
You might have a little litigation here going on.
Well, yeah, and no, they're just trying to give me a bad reputation. Then they put the blame on me, and they're basically trying to convince the public that my units don't work. But as far as my own units are concerned, every unit that I've sent out pretty much since 1985, everybody has gotten, rock-hard results off of it.
Didn't MTV do a story about you last year? They tried to pick up a unit and tried to disappear?
Yes, but they the problem there was not only did this gets really complicated, but I actually didn't do that interview. There was an interview that took place, but I conducted the interview in another dimension. But the interview that I heard on Rob, well, without going into the name, on that MTV show.
I was on that too, I think.
Yeah, but the problem with the, with the unit that they were using was, it was my unit that they were working with, but there was only one sheet of paper that came for the instructions, and I was thinking, saying to myself, now how can you tell somebody how to travel physically through time on just one sheet of paper?
I don't think
you can
do
that.
No, you probably can't. Stephen, stay with us. I want to continue talking with you about this and how it works. Next hour, two people who say that they have been time travelers, will describe their experiences with us. So we'll talk with them as well. We'll also open up the phone lines a little bit later on next hour before we get into open lines later on tonight. Our guest is Stephen Gibbs, who 11 years ago gave one of these to Art. We'll be back. Hey, double duty for Ian Punnett this weekend. He's going to host Saturday and Sunday's Coast to Coast program. But, Ian, let's talk about Saturday, and then you can promote Sunday tomorrow night on your show. How are you?
It's a little bit like the Minnesota Wild winning on the road against the Detroit Red Wings and then going on to beat the Blackhawks.
I know. It's amazing.
And that's what it's like. Yeah, two very cool things, but I'll focus on tomorrow night. Miriam Delicato is going to be on. She is a lifelong abductee, she says, and she's very believable, and I will look forward to hearing people question her coming up tomorrow night when we go to phones with her, but she says that she is a representative of the tall blonde ones.
Ah, well.
And she has a special message she has been sent to deliver, and she is also somebody who has the unique ability then to see the Nordic ones amongst us. And she'll talk a little bit about her experiences in all that regard coming up tomorrow night. Did you have a good vacation, good December off?
Yeah. It was good with the family and seeing my little grandchild, a little baby born. It's number four in our family now.
Oh, that's grandchildren. Terrific.
That's great. Nothing
like seeing. Do they look like granddad?
The little boy does.
Really?
Yeah. My son looks like his mother, who is a redhead. My two daughters look identical to me. They have little mustaches. And hey, Ian, have a great show tomorrow and a good weekend.
Sure.
Ian Punnett, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be back in a moment with Stephen Gibbs on Coast to Coast AM. The NighthawkZone.com folks have up there somewhere on one of their pages, I think it's page two, a picture of Stephen Gibbs' time travel machine, and Art Bell, a picture of Art holding up one of these devices a long time ago. Okay, Stephen, let's talk about how it works. So you took the schematics, you got these schematics, and started playing around with this. The trial and error period for you, how long did that take?
Oh, I'd say anywhere from... I would say 4 to 8, anywhere from 3 to probably 7 years. The complete point of where I actually got it to the point where it was had been pretty much perfected was about a month before I went on Coast to Coast with Art Bell, and. There was some things that there was still a few things, you know, in the previous years that I hadn't quite got a handle on, but it was just really strange. Towards the end of 96, all of a sudden information started coming to me on how to make it so that, you know, it would operate, you know, twice as good as what it normally would operate at. And anyhow, just when I got it finished and inserted basically the diode circuit, which looks like the seal of God, which is mentioned in the seventh chapter in the book of Revelations. That's when I went on Coast to Coast with Art Bell for the first time.
Now, when this operates via what? You plug it in or on batteries?
Well, yeah, you plug it in. To an ordinary outlet. Now, a lot of people say, well, what happens, you know, if you're in an area where you can't plug it in? And but I always tell them, you know, you need to get a, you know, Radio Shack inverter that plugs into your cigarette lighter in your vehicle. And then when you find a vortex, you just either drive close to where the vortex is at or just park your vehicle right over the vortex and take your vehicle right with you through time.
Well, I was going to say, what about the return trip? If you're just hanging out there without a outlet, you're not going to be able to make it back, are you?
Well, yeah, it'll return your vehicle and yourself back safely. I kind of question a little bit about windows. Sometimes it doesn't happen often, but once I think out of every 100 or maybe even 1,000 jumps, It depends on what dimensions you end up going to, but if you decide to take your vehicle with you through time, sometimes it cracks the windshield.
I got to tell you, Stephen, as weird as this is, you sound pretty convinced that this really happens.
Oh, yeah. I've made enough physical time jumps and got a collection of books, you know, that basically with ISBN numbers in them that basically don't even exist, that I have retrieved from other dimensions, you know, after using the HDR unit. But you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, is the device safe? And, you know, anytime you're dealing, you know, with travel of any kind, you know, there's always going to be a certain element of dangers involved. And the danger that comes in making time jumps with the HDR unit is if you decide to change something in your past. So often people that buy units from me are ended up, you know, saving somebody from a car accident or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, they go back and they change it and come back and they find out they're missing something like 20 or 30% of their memories.
Hmm.
And, that's because they've changed their time stream and, it doesn't always bring, I mean, when you go back and change something in the past, it don't always bring you back to the same dimension that you took off from.
Have you ever gotten a call from a wife or a husband who said, hey, my spouse or my friend took this device, they've never come back?
No, usually when a couple takes off with the unit, usually they take off and I never hear from them again.
so you don't know if they came back.
Well, I don't know. They don't keep in touch, and so I have no way of knowing whether they came back successfully or not. Now, there's been people who have sent me letters, you know, claiming that, you know, they went back, you know, to like 2001. And they actually took a photograph of their surroundings and then brought it back with them to the present and sent it off to me. And one guy who bought a unit from me back in 2003, he actually went back to 2001 to visit his dead father. That who had passed away. He felt he didn't make the correct restitution in connection with his death, and so he went back and he gave his farewells and everything, and then he popped right back to the present. And he thought that was pretty amazing, but that was the last I heard from him. And then I sold the unit to a guy over in Yugoslavia. This was back in, I think it was either 2004 or 2005. And there was a guy, since he spoke, I guess it was Russian or Czechoslovakia.
Or Yugoslavian, who knows?
Yeah, Yugoslavian. Well, because of his language problem, a friend of his over in California had to buy the unit for him. And so his friend from California, you know, sent me the $360, and then I shipped it over to him in Yugoslavia. He gave me his address. And anyhow, I didn't think of it much at the time, but anyhow, a few weeks later, he calls up just scared half out of his gourd. And I said, well, what are you so scared about? And he said, you know that guy that you sold the unit to over in Yugoslavia? And I said, yeah. He said, he used the unit and bi-located over to my place and came knocking at my door. And he even had the HDR unit with him.
Why did he do that?
Well, just to prove to him that it worked, and then on top of that, just to scare the crap out of him. But in any case, but then, believe it or not, then the guy bi-located over to Linden here and came knocking at my door. And now, normally, I don't like to answer doors because you never know who's going to come knocking.
Well, plus, if the machine didn't work, you know, they may want their money back, Stephen.
And but in any case, he went to 2100, and then he went on back to 1950, and then after that, I lost contact with him.
How far back can you go?
according to what Carlos Novella told me, however, I've never made this long of a time jump. Now, he has, but Carlos Novella, you know, he went back to the late 1500s, and so we kind of speculate that it probably has a 500-year limit.
Plus or minus. Like either
yeah,
either
plus
way.
Or minus.
Okay.
Yeah, and not only that, but before I forget about it, you know, Patricia Rest sells his book titled Carl's Story. And if they're interested in it, you know, they can go to info-gal.info and look at that book that she sells there. And these are basically documented cases of Carlos Novella's time travel jumps that he made using the HDR unit.
Yeah, Patricia's going to join us in just a few moments.
Yeah, now she sells that book, believe it or not, at $25 a book. But it's listed on her site as being sold for $12.95. But she wanted me to bring it up. You know, if people are interested in it, you know, send her $25, and that would include the shipping and handling charges on that also.
Now, you've traveled, right? You've used this device. Where have you gone? What time periods have you gone into?
Well, me and Patricia Rest, and Pat will even back me up on this one. Now, the furthest back physically I have gone into the past is the year 1977. And believe it or not, it wasn't an intentional time jump. However, I remembered when I went over to Patricia Rest's place, or Pat's place, and, you know, once or twice a year, I'd come up to her place and visit with her and her husband, and we would experiment with the HDR unit. Well, anyhow, when I came up there that day, I think this was back in either 95 or 96, we decided to wind up the unit and see if we could find the rates that would help us to see auras around people's physical bodies.
Okay.
And so we gave each of ourselves a 3-minute zap, holding the electromagnet, the open end of the electromagnet.
Ouch.
Over the stomach chakra.
That hurt?
And no. It's just the handles are pointing away from you, and then you're just holding the open end over the navel area.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to touch your skin. Of course, it works a little bit better if it does. But no, there's no pain involved. And after we gave ourselves each a 3-minute zap, all of a sudden she says, "Well, look, you can see Fred's aura. That's her husband." And I was saying, "You're kidding." I said, no, take a look. And so I looked, and all of a sudden I could see his aura just as clear as could be, and I couldn't believe it. Well, anyhow, later on, not knowing that the we had absorbed all those time energies, we went down to an angel store down near the old Omaha area, and just before we arrived at the bookstore, after we passed this one intersection, all of a sudden it felt like we hit a huge gigantic rut on the highway. I mean, it just felt like it just shook the vehicle apart.
Monster pothole or something.
Yeah, and anyhow, we looked back, you know, to see if there was a pothole in the street, and we couldn't see any. The highway was absolutely smooth. And anyhow, when we got down there, all of a sudden we started seeing 1970 and 1960 vehicles all around us. And Pat and I were looking at each other, and it says, "What the hell are all these old cars doing around us?" And she was saying, "Well, who knows? Maybe they're having an old car show." And I said, "Well, that must be it." And anyhow, we got down to the Angel Store, and I ended up buying some books out of the store, and I noticed that one of the books was copyright 1977. Well, when I wrote out the check, and to this day I still can't figure out how that check got cleared. but in any case, after I wrote out the check, I asked the woman that worked there, I says, "Is this check valid? Is it good? Did I make out everything correct?" And she looked at me like I was crazy. She shook her head no, and she crossed out the year, and she put down 77.
That's
And I didn't notice it at the time, but anyhow, after we left the bookstore, we again passed through the doorway, and we heard kind of like a snap or maybe a bang noise. And the next thing we knew, we started seeing modern vehicles around us again.
Go ahead, Steve. Finish up.
But anyhow, what really convinced her, she wasn't convinced that we were back in 77. So she went back up there a few days later with a friend to see if the bookstore was still open that we had been in. And it looked like it had been closed for over 10 years. And so it basically proves that we were back there. I don't think it was, the past that we remember. I think it was some sort of an alternate past. But we were there for something like about a couple hours, and then we returned back to the present.
Can you control the time period you're going back to or into?
Yeah. You can set the year, month, and day up on the dials, and you set that up radionically using the rubbing plate.
Okay, now. How does it work? What happens? You have these gizmos, you turn them on. What's going on?
Well, it's basically I keep trying to tell people this, or they never can understand it, but it's basically a zero-point particle generator, and it generates an infinite amount of zero-point energy through the power of resonance, which is set up by the diode system inside the circuit. And believe it or not, the thing actually hooks up to the Earth's power grid system, making it an extremely powerful device to operate. And it draws its energies from the power grid system and then steps it up through the zero vector and then on into your aura or chakra systems. And then... But the way you basically set up the year, month, and day is you state the question, what are the rates that will, transport my physical body and all of its components to the, for example, January 1st, 2000. And while you're turning each of the knobs, you're stroking the rubbing plate until your fingers stick on the rubbing plate. And as soon as your fingers stop on the rubbing plate, that indicates a dial setting that will... feed your soul energies into the unit that will then take you basically to wherever it is you want to go.
That is pretty accurate within a few days or right on the spot?
Well, it's like I tell people, the Lord has blessed my units. And when people, want to go back to a certain year, month, and day, they can pretty much go back to pretty much any time they want to. But if it's not in accordance with the Lord's will, then the Lord takes you back to wherever he wants you to go to. And there might be dangers involved in a time jump that the person is not aware of, because there are some pretty damn dangerous dimensions out there that you don't want to step foot in. And, where there's wars going on, and God only knows what's happening in the United States. And each time you go back into the past, you hit a different dimension. For example, you go back to January 1st, 2000. Okay, each time you go back there, you're going to hit a different dimension, because people are constantly making choices that are changing their future.
Has anybody ever come back and they got sick because of the traveling?
Well, there has been some reports on, the first or second jump, there's kind of like a slight jet lag effect.
Yeah.
But then after that, it doesn't bother them anymore after that. But so far, though, usually, now that was the early models, though, that happened a lot on. Now, in recent years, the improvements that I have done on the unit has not led to any jet lag effects, as far as I know.
All right, stay with us, Stephen Gibbs. We're going to have two time travelers join us next hour before we go into open lines. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.